acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, pay our respects to their elders past and present. I let anybody who is viewing online know that the audio of the General Council meeting will be recorded. Members need to turn their cameras off.
On,
rather, I'm told. So at the moment, we can't see any faces on the screen. We're meeting in a hybrid capacity, meaning we've got members physically present and potentially someone, one or two, online. But we can't see them at the moment, so if they can try and adjust their settings to make sure everything's on, that would be great.
Members, if I can just clarify, so anyone in the chamber doesn't need to be connected to the Zoom. It will pick up via the owls in the middle of the room. To be present for the meeting, those that are online will need to have their cameras on. If they don't have their cameras on, then we consider them not present for that item.
Very well. Thanks, Ms. McKenzie. I ask if any elected members foresee a potential conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. If not, we'll keep moving along. And would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes of the General Council meeting held 27th July? Moved, Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. So I've inside. That was moved, Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Masika. We can move straight to, could I take committee recommendations, noting that we have the opportunity for further discussion in confidential session later. Would someone like to move those minutes be accepted? You may want to move on block with the State Bicycle Fund, which is also really a formality. Moved Councillor Schilling that way, and seconded Councillor Gard. Any discussion about either of those two items? This is the minutes of the Review and Selection Committee, as publicly available, and the State Bicycle Fund grant funding deed, which is authorisation only. If there's no more discussion, all those in favour, raise your hand. Yes, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, the bylaw review, let's just take that item separately in case people have any questions. So we're at the stage where we've heard from the community and we're now, in a sense, endorsing what to put forward. Staff will tell me if that's not right. That is right. Everyone ready to proceed? Would someone like to move as recommended or otherwise? Councillor Gard, seconded Councillor Duncan. Was there anything to say in that debate? No? We're dealing with the bylaws, which obviously canvasses a range of different bylaws. Any questions? Councillor Pryor?
You there, Luke? I don't know what's happened. I suspect the webinar's got issues because Craig's just messaged me and said that it's just him and me and I can't even see Craig.
Well,
I suspect there's
can a order happening order here. Can we take that can we take that discussion outside the meeting, please?
Hi, I'm here as well.
What about Tori and
we're Jane being meeting bombed.
Are you with us or what's the story there?
Well, it reminds me of a time when I was in Parliament. And the Honourable Graham Gunn said to the Honourable Frank Blevins, order, will you be quiet? And Frank Blevins said, I can shout louder than you, which was not a nice thing to say to the Speaker.
And she can hear us, but we can't hear her.
If there's no more commentary on the bylaw review, all those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Would someone like to move the policy review items and the local government reform round one regulations submission on block? Of course, there can be questions about any of these. Councillor Duncan so moves, and Councillor Schilling seconds. Before I put the motion, I'll just allow staff to deal with a procedural issue to do with the online microphones.
Can you all turn it off if you have it on? Because I can't understand why the microphone got bananas and that's not the other label on this one. I think I'm not aware. It's because you're the host. I'm not a host. Yeah. Can you make me a host? Otherwise, this is not going to work.
So, Ryan, I found once before, if somebody's using a mobile phone, that can actually do this.
So I'm just checking. I think that was moved, Councillor Duncan, seconded Councillor Gard. Now, in terms of questions, I know that there's been informal public discussion about the policy items. I draw members' attention to the potential response to the LGA seeking our views about the regulations. I can say that I've read through the regulations. I didn't find anything particularly striking there. But in terms of the response that's in your agenda from page 198 onwards, that's the there's a table there which has suggested City of Marion comment. And Ms. McKenzie, can you just advise? I think pretty well everything is supported. Can you just clarify that? Just checking.
Through the chair, yes, we've supported all the comments. Most of them are pretty minor in the changes. The two ones that we thought are just worth noting is the recommendations in regards to motions on notice and that they would need to be received 7 days prior to a meeting rather than five, so the cutoff would be 5 p.m. on a Monday. We've just asked them to clarify that that would also apply to questions on notice, because at the moment it's only in relation to motions. The second part we highlighted was just in regards to the role of a candidate, and that a candidate would have to declare whether they lived in the council area and also whether they lived within the ward. We did also support it just for transparency purposes, and obviously the candidate would be able to provide their reasoning as to why they were running for that particular ward and this council.
That does raise one question. I know it's come up in the chamber before. What about the case of those who might be silently enrolled or might be members of the police force or detectives or whatever? How is that catered for if a person's home address should not be published?
I think it would still require, it's not explicit in the regulations, but I think it would still require them to say whether they lived broadly in that ward or within the council. Wouldn't have to declare the address, but you would have to make a statement if you were outside of that.
Well, thanks for the clarification. So, a final call for any questions about any of the policy items or the LGA submission and those regs? As I say, I think they're all fairly innocuous. I'll put that series of motions then. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. And now that leaves us with, we better take these separately, but the corporate and CEO KPI report for the fourth quarter, page 208. Just checking first if anyone had any questions. If not, then members might wish to move that and also the cover reports for confidentiality. Speaking as chair, I can say that there do seem to be sound reasons for confidentiality in respect of each of those items, but it is up to you, members. Councillor Hull? What we're doing is the corporate and CEO KPIs, which are publicly available, and that's there on page 208 of the agenda. All right. Well, let's kick off with your questions about that before we move any motions. Councillor Hull. We are using mics.
Mr. Mayor, there's two red flags here. One's been around for a while, being the lost time injury frequency rate. But there's a new one, the staff teamage survey, the field staff and survey results. That's a new one. So I'd appreciate an explanation for that. The other one that I'd like to ask is a glowing report for community engagement and communications, yet we had the Glandor Oval, well, I'll have to choose my words carefully. No, I wouldn't say that. And we've also employed a consultant to help us with our community engagement. So what's it going to be? Are we doing a good job, or do we need a consultant to come in to help us with this problem?
Councillor, so there are probably three questions in one there. So I'll ask management to respond to questions about work injuries, very important issue. Secondly, the question about Team Gauge, which is a program to gauge staff morale, among other things. And then thirdly, there's a question about the engagement KPI. I might make a comment about that myself. But first of all, would staff like to speak to one or more of those? Mr. Harrison.
Thank you, through the chair. Certainly before my time, I guess, these higher level KPIs, CEO KPIs, were determined, and there has been some resolutions to make some alterations, and the determination for an alteration relates to the lost time injuries, which in the future, starting from 1 July past, it won't actually show as a high level organisational or CEO KPI. But if I can talk to that, please. As has been discussed, I think, at a previous General Council meeting by myself, our numbers of incidents are actually very, very low for an organisation with some 350 to 360 full-time employee positions. And you only need a single lost time injury, let's say one in a number of 10, to actually obscure, I guess, your performance rate of an increase by 10%, for example, if it's one additional one on top of, say, 9, for example, taking it out to 10 in total lost time injuries. Prior to this last financial year, I think the organisation has shown a great deal of improvement to reduce lost time injuries, new claim injuries, medical expenses, and the types of measures that we go towards demonstrating that we have a safe workplace. Certainly last year we did see an obvious increase, and we have looked at those individually, all 14 of them in the last 12 months. And unfortunately, some of them were relatively lower level injuries, not that any injury is a good injury by any means, but they were lower level, for example, somebody stepping out of a truck and turning over on their ankle and being away from the workplace for 24 hours means that you've got a lost time injury, one of 14, for example. So the numbers are very low. The percentage implications, I wouldn't suggest necessarily reflects a good or bad safe workplace. That's not to say we shouldn't be trying to work towards zero injuries in the workplace at any given point in time. Fortuitously though, and I wouldn't suggest for 1 minute it was my influence, but since I started on the 27th of April, the months of May and June, we actually did see a downturn. And I think for both those months, we didn't see any lost time injuries. So if you look at the line graph, we will actually see a downturn in that particular area. We will bring to council on a regular basis all of the data and statistical information pertaining to safe workplaces in the future, so we're not going to not be presenting that to council. It won't just feature as one of the top 10, I guess, the KPIs. And I'd certainly like to come back to council in relation to a new set of data and metrics and indicators across our organisation more broadly in the future, which I think will give elected members greater levels of comfort to have a better sense as to how the organisation is performing. The Team Gauge is a new product. It's been around for, I'm guessing, 3 or 4 years. I certainly was responsible for adopting it within Human Services and State Government. A number of state government departments use it. It's a commercial off-the-shelf product, Team Gauge. It's a piece of software which allows employees in a very short time frame, a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, in some cases 4 minutes, to very quickly select a series of answers as to the climate of the organisation, their sense of fulfilment and wellbeing in the organisation, or specific questions that might be posed by management that we'd like to sort of get a pulse survey response from the employees across the organisation. The way this measure is actually constructed, it's about the engagement by the 350 FTEs in the organisation as to how they've engaged in one of the months, for example, response, and on a month by month, area by area, team by team, that can change. I'd also finally say that we would always like a very good response from our organisation, but it will fluctuate on a month-by-month basis as to how people do contribute and engage in the team gauge survey process. On the last quarter, it was down compared to the previous quarter. So it's a point-in-time measure. Yes, we'd like it to be higher. It was lower for the last quarter compared to the previous quarter. That's those two, if I could, just on those two. I'm not sure whether the Mayor was going to say anything further about the third question.
Oh, perhaps I could just add a couple of things about those two first. Councillors, that is us, have agreed to fairly minor modification of the KPIs. So this is the last in this series. They will look a bit different as of next quarter. In relation to the lost time injury frequency rate, as highlighted by the question, it is a critical measure, but it'll be reported to councillors and publicly, but it won't necessarily be a KPI at this level. The other thing to point out about it is that it was set as a decrease on previous year. So once you get down to pretty well single figure numbers, it's harder and harder to maintain, obviously. The other thing I was going to say about team gauge is that we had a good discussion about it at the Review and Selection Committee meeting, really questioning the value of it. And at the next committee meeting, we're going to see an example of what sort of data comes from it to really work out how valuable it is and what use is made of it. I mean, the committee had an open mind about it, but needed to explore it further. On the community engagement,
I guess all I can add to that is that I'm irrespective of a consultant or using a consultant. There are a number of things in play at the moment. Certainly we're having a comprehensive review about the whole comms and engagement processes in relation to structure, strategy and capability within the organisation, and there will be some changes made in relation to that in the future. Once again, this is a point in time measure as to the response, as to demonstrate on a technical basis that there was engagement demonstrated through particular processes. We could certainly always argue and debate, I guess, the subjectivity or the objectivity nature of that as to whether it was quality versus quantity or vice versa. But it certainly was a point in time, and it is an accurate reflection based on how the performance indicator is actually constructed for a measurement on a quarter by quarter basis.
So, Councillor Hull, just from the Mayor's point of view to add to that, probably the most difficult issue, at least, well, say this calendar year, has been the Glendore Oval issue. And there were two aspects to that, I can say. One is that it wasn't so much inaccuracy, but rather the initial consultation didn't include everybody who subsequently wanted to be included. So the assessment of who ought to be consulted in hindsight could have been better to include more people. And I suppose that could happen. I will share Councillor Hull's microphone keeps dropping out, but I'm going to keep persisting. Well, can we do that sort of in between items rather than when the Mayor's addressing the meeting or any particular member? Thank you, just to be less disruptive. I just want to conclude that point. There was a council resolution for consultation to take place, and it didn't take place within a number of weeks, maybe at least a month from the council resolution. So from that point of view, there's a strong argument that there was not timely communication. And if there had been, there may not have been the blow-up that occurred, because people then heard through informal sources about part of what was happening rather than having the official council version of, in fact, what was proposed. Now, just before you take that up, Councillor Hull, do we need a short adjournment to address the online participation?
Well, through the chair, once we've done this item, we'll be moving into confidence, which will be on a different meeting in any event. So I'm not sure whether we just want to try and conclude the item and then move into the different meeting and resolve the issues then.
Well, can that be communicated to the online participants,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, I've sent them a text already.
All right. For those of us who are present in the room, Councillor Hull, did you want to respond further? Well, Councillor Hull. Well, that's 100% of a specific measure, but I mean, the question is completely disconnected to the KPI. We have, whenever we've done service reviews, for example, or on multiple occasions in multiple areas, we've had consultants to add something of value to the organisation. That's not necessarily done because things are falling apart in that area. It's done to add value. And I would suggest that's the case with the current consultancy or contract employment in that area. But Mr. Harrison, do you want to add to that?
I can only concur. I think they're two separate issues. One is an issue about measuring clinically a performance against a set criteria for a set duration of time. I think this accurately represents what happened in that quarter. The degree of quality is an issue outside of that for that particular matter that you make reference to, and I accept that you need to review that and consider the quality in the manner in which that was undertaken. That's fine. But I say, and I support the Mayor's take on this, I think they are two distinct different issues. One is a clinical measure of an activity in a duration of time. The other one is about the debate or otherwise as to whether or not the quality of a particular engagement for a particular matter could have been done differently and or better at that time.
Well, this is question. You may be able to do that in debate, which we haven't even started yet. Did you have any more factual questions to ask? You've got one final question then, thanks. Well, presumably that's encapsulated in the KPI. I don't know if any staff present can actually provide any additional detail, but what is proposed is a measure of annual emissions. So that would be done with a number and a unit, I would suspect.
Yep.
Well, could you take that up with staff in between meetings, just and if not, then come back through an appropriate process to improve the measure.
It doesn't apply in this period, because it's new.
No. So why don't you make, Councillor Hull, why don't you make an inquiry in between meetings, and if you're not happy with the answer you get, then raise it in this forum in an appropriate way or in a committee. Any other questions, factual questions about the KPIs, results, etc.? If not, would someone like to move accepting that report, but also, if you wish, moving all of the cover reports for the items to go into confidence in the next part of the meeting. Moved Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those, or is there any further debate? Sorry,
well,
Councillor Hull? Sorry, what you were talking about, the measure of carbon emissions? No, well, it wasn't in particular, but we haven't got to that yet. There being no more debate, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, raise their hands. Very well. Now that leaves us with just before we get to that, sorry, Councillor Hull, you were drawing the Chair's attention to page 215. You wish to make a comment about the question with notice?
If I may, Mr. Mayor. Marion is rated quite highly here. Now, in a comparative sense, if you compare it with Tea Tree Gully, bigger council than us, there's a number of councils there that are bigger than us. What are they doing to actually get the figures that they have? And what can we learn from those councils to help reduce the exposure that we've got for scrutiny?
Just before that's answered, there is a question relating to that graph, because I noticed that the Advertiser article referred to in Councillor Hull's question had numbers relating to a complete variety of different time periods. So there's no way in the world they could be compared with one another. So I'm just asking staff, whoever might be able to answer it, whether that graph represents a common time period for the different councils. So I'm advised by staff that was all for the last complete financial year. So it is a direct comparison. I invite management to comment, but to a large extent it is a political answer, because we, the councillors, are the ones who decide what goes into confidence and what doesn't.
My hand went up along with others, but this is a...
And you will note, and I hope you would agree, that the Mayor is quite scrupulous in looking at every single item where staff recommend confidentiality, and I look to opening up the item, all of it or part of it, as much as is feasible. But at the same time, there are those restrictions in the legislation, and they are there for good reason, to protect the innocent often, and we'll continue to abide by them. So I'll just ask Mr. Harrison what further he can add.
Thank you, through the Chair. If I can also just refer people to the first paragraph on page 217 in the event that some elected members may not have seen that. I think it's really pertinent to suggest that of which there were 58 is the number of times Council resolved to enter into confidence to hold discussions. But in particular, it does not reflect the number of items that were either not retaining confidence or that were released at a defined time. I think typically this was possibly a slow news day for a particular journalist that collected some data and information. They will always try and present data and information with a particular slant. Accepting the size of Tea Tree Gully Council and our own, I'd suggest without actually looking at the transactions which council and elected members are considering and the volume of particular matters, it's just not appropriate to necessarily compare in a black and white manner one council with another council based on the utilisation of confidentiality provisions, because one council might be considering twice as many matters as another council might be that might need to have confidentiality placed over the top of it. So I'd just say with a great degree of caution, I think this is a single journalist that's presented some data and some figures without giving a very broad and comprehensive understanding of what their interpretation is and what they mean. And I would treat them with a great deal of caution. I would say, please, that I don't think it's necessarily the case to look upon this adversely because we may have a higher number than what Tea Tree Gully had at a particular point in time. I think there is some relationship between the four or five councils ahead of us. They're all larger councils in the main. Some are similar size in the main. Some of those are larger than ourselves. But we're not far off the mark, I guess, which would suggest to me that there is a rather consistent approach, maybe an appropriate approach by councils in relation to the utilisation of confidentiality provisions for considering matters appropriately as well.
And one final observation from the Mayor. If one looks at the table on page 216 and adds together the 14 and the 15, which both relate to commercial information, and they are there literally to protect ratepayer funds, it indicates, and that's literally half, 29 out of 58, literally half of the items relate to commercial sensitivity. And, you know, if the best way you could try and reduce those 29 items would be to vote against every major project, because we have tenders, we have designs that are confidential, we have people we have to consult with that are confidential. If we weren't doing anything, we wouldn't have these confidential items. So to some extent, it is a measure of our activity in terms of major projects compared to other councils. Any other observations from any member? Councillor Crossland. I'm glad it's not a KPI. All right, Councillor Gard.
That same point occurred to me in the reading, but there is one other point, and that is we did have one or two matters that... Sorry.
Councillor Gard has the call. Could somebody communicate to the councillors offline that we're still in a public meeting and that they need to be able to hear the chair in order to participate? Councillor Gard, go ahead.
Yes, the other main thing that occurred to me was that we did have one or two matters that were ongoing and did require confidentiality and involving clubs, I think we can say that safely. And that was an unusual year or 18-month period. So I think those two things added together are the answer. Yep.
Let's leave it there and then move into our confidential session. So can I ask staff, do you need a short adjournment to prepare everything?
Yes, we will need to change meetings anyway. Yep.
So if I could say that we'll adjourn for 2 minutes. Is that long enough?
2 minutes long enough?
We'll adjourn for 5 minutes. To set up the confidential part of the meeting. And apologies to members of the public and councillors and staff listening online. We've been doing the best we can. But so we're finishing the public part of the meeting, and in 5 minutes we'll commence the confidential part of the meeting. Thank you.